Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Apramasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
Let us pray. Father, thank you for this morning, this gathering of your saints. Thank you that as we are here, you are also here to speak to us. Let your words come straight into our hearts, into our ears. Change us, transform us, and make us more like Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you ever so much. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Key facts about Jesus. You know, there are two kinds of Christians. There are those who do and those who are. Some of you are masters at obedience. So you try and obey the instructions. When we say fast, you fast. When we say come, you come. When we say go, you go. And some of you, you have tried to change. You may think that those who do are very, very good. But there's a problem. You know the problem? It is what Paul discovered. The things I want to do, I do not. And the things I don't want to do, those are the ones that I do. Then he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? So tell your neighbor, trying to do good is very, very difficult, if not impossible. True or not true? Ask anybody, you now, as you sit here, trying to do good, is it working? Is it working? It's not working. You are coming short time and time again. You know, and this morning, you see, sometimes you have to be careful what you say, because this morning, I want to say, don't obey again. You see, yeah, say, hey. No, this from today, don't bother to obey again. Change, and become that person who is a believer. Amen. What is the difference between the person who drinks and a drunkard? What is the difference? Because they both drink. They both drink. But there's one big difference. The drunkard has been changed by the drink. So even his lips are red. His eyes are always red. You know, there's a man in our area who used to drink. I mean, he was a drunkard. In the morning, when he drinks water, he becomes drunk. I mean, I heard it, but I didn't believe it until I saw that it's true. Even in the morning, when he just drinks water and he wakes up and drinks water, the thing starts working again, whether it has reactivated the alcohol in his system. So, and he was looking 10 years older than he was. The drink had changed him. And so this morning, no longer drink, amen, at the well of, but be a drunkard. Let the alcohol change. No, don't be a drunkard. So you take it literally. No, but be changed. Amen. Be changed. We have tried. You see, the thing is, some of you are trying to come to church on Sunday, even early. You are trying. But it should come to the point where it's not like I'm trying. I go to church on Sunday, and it's no longer an effort. It's a lifestyle. Amen. It is as if when I wake up Sunday, no matter what I have to do, I have to be there. I don't know whether you are getting me. It's no longer a question of what time is it? Is it almost 8? Hey, is it 8? Hey, it's past 8. Chale, we are late. No, it will not come to that because it is a must. I will be there. Hallelujah. And the day that you happen to be late, you will appear here sweating because you are running across the street. But most of us, when we are late, we don't run. We just come because I'm coming to church and I've come. Key facts about Jesus or about being a Christian. Hallelujah. So no longer are we obeying rules and regulations, but we are changing. Amen. I'm giving you facts about Jesus. Number one, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. 1 John 1:19. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. Amen. So, number one, your sins are forgiven. Amen. But this is not important if you don't think about your sins. It's not important. I mean, as we are sitting here, maybe they are still bombing in Iran. It's not important to you. You don't buy petrol. You don't do anything. You're okay. As we are sitting here, there's trouble in other parts, Somalia, Afghanistan. There's still troubles there. It doesn't concern us. We don't think about it. So the fact that your sins are forgiven is not a significant fact to you if you are not mindful of your sins. If you behave as if you are perfect, if you talk as if everything is okay, and it's like me there, I'm not, when you say those sinners, you say, Pastor, tell them. Yeah. When you say, when you go to any place, there's an altar call. You don't look to see who's, no, it doesn't concern you. Amen. But your sins should concern you. Psalm 32. David was somebody who was very concerned by his sins. Psalm 32. And you see, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. When your sins are forgiven. Why? Verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old, and my roaring, sometimes your thoughts are disturbing you. Or you've not been there before. Your thoughts don't go away. Something you did is always in your head. And you even say, go away. But it's not going. That is my roaring all day long. How many have sinned and the sin was so sinful that you're not happy again? Can I see your hand? You mind me again. Doesn't matter. Yeah. And then the sin is bubbling in your head. And it won't go away. It's not everybody here who has had that thing before. It happened before. Let me correct you. This is your norm. This should be your normal state. Even your little sins should disturb you. But as you are moving around, your little sins there, you just absorb it as part of the package. You just absorb. When they say things, oh, it's okay. It's one of those things. What of those things? Are you listening to me? We have come to the point where we have almost accepted sin as part of us. And we just allow it. And our sins no longer disturb us. And so the fact that Jesus has forgiven you your sins means little. Amen. And what it should mean is that because my sins are forgiven, I am going to be careful not to go back there again. You didn't say amen. Because my sins are forgiven and I've been released of that burden of thoughts. I mean, it's always rolling in my head. I'm not free. I don't want to go back there again. Hallelujah. Imagine two men have gone to a chop bar. One man is wearing white, like Mr. Robert, white, white, white. Wow. And the other is wearing red or a fitter in his working gear.
Yeah.
Okay. So his oil and grease, wow, plus soil and dirt, everything is on his shirt. And his hands are brown or black. Yeah. And the other man is Mr. Robert, who's wearing his white there. And they go and sit down. And they bring palm nut soup. Who will be careful with their palm nut soup? That I don't want to make even one splash. Pardon? He won't eat again. He'll just leave it and go and take KNK. That is. Yeah. Because the fitter doesn't care. He's already dirty. The thing is black and oily and greasy. And he's okay. But Mr. Robert is wearing white. And they bring them, hey, can they put it carefully down? One splash, it will show. It will show. One splash will show. Whereas for the other man there, if he pour cry, he'll just clean it and continue eating. That is how we have become. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be what? Hey, they'll be what? Yeah. Though they're like crimson, and white as wool, but as you are here, it's half crimson, half wool. So you don't mind when the oil is coming, just turn this side and the oil fall here, then you are okay. Then you are okay. No. Tell your neighbor, your sins are forgiven. Add your finger to your neighbor's nose. Tell him your sins are forgiven. And you are now wearing Mr. Robert White. You're wearing Mr. Robert White. That means white, white. Yes. Behave. Ah. Even a father who is going to church on Sunday, when your son comes, daddy, daddy, say, take your time. Oh, it's not true. Take your time. Say, hey, hey. You have been there. No, 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 don't, don't. He's like, oh, let's go quietly. Because don't spoil my white. Don't spoil my white. From today, tell somebody, don't spoil my white. Who are you? You are a person, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Amen. Every morning when you wake up, say, Lord, thank you, my sins are forgiven. Oh, you remind me again. Every morning, what do you say? This side, your sins are not forgiven. Every morning, when you rise up, what do you say? Your sins, thank you, Lord. My sins are forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
So that is a Christian. Your sins are forgiven. And if they are forgiven, don't go back there again. If a certain boy or a certain girl is taking you into sin always, what do you do? What do you do? Cut him off. Hey, you're not minding me again. No, if... How many know that there are some people, they lead you into sin, into trouble? Can I see your hand? You know. Their advice, their presence, the things they are carrying, what they are watching, when they are by your side. You know that they are causing you to sin. Yeah? The comments they make as they are sitting by you. They'll just come and make some crazy, crazy comments. They say, hey, that girl, her breasts are big. Oh, hey! Straight away, they're making you think thoughts you don't have to think. Oh, it's not true. That boy, he's looking nice. So, hey, that boy, I wonder how he will be in bed. Then that. Oh, it's not true. Barbara, it's not true. You mind me? You make yourself like an angel there. Yeah. It's not true. They make you think bad thoughts from today. When they are coming and you see them coming, or get ready, go. Then you run away and then you leave the place. Hallelujah. Number two, you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I want us all to read this scripture, children's and grown-ups. Ready? Go. Therefore, wait. This church, don't do this. Ready? Go. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Amen. Tell somebody, I am a new creation. Stand up and tell somebody, I am a new creation. This is not how I was before. I have changed. Oh, say it well. I have changed. Wait. Listen. You can't say I have changed without changing the changed. The change must have weight and meaning. Tell somebody, I have changed. This is not how I was. There's a song. Great time when the things I used to do, I do them no more. Great song.
Great change. Since I was born.
Great
change. Since I met God. Great change. Since I met God, there's been a great change. Since I met God,
once again, great change.
Great change. Since I met God, great change. Since I met God, great change. Since I met God, there's been a great change. Since I met God,
the things I used to do,
the things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more.
Okay, everybody else, think she's the only one who has changed. We have all changed. Ready? The things I used to do, I do them no more. Ready? Go. Don't sing. Ready? Go. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more.
I cannot hear you.
To do, I do them no more.
The crazy things I used to do, the crazy things I used to do, I do them no more.
The crazy things I do them no more. The crazy things I do them no more. The crazy
things. The places I used to go.
But what has changed? What have you stopped doing? Say three things you have stopped doing. Say three things you have stopped doing. Because some of you can't find one thing. I was sleeping. I was insulting people. I was very wicked. I was lazy. I was watching pornography. I was not correct. In my head, I was not correct. What have you changed? Sit down. No, listen, you are laughing. But let me tell you something. If you cannot identify at least one or two things that have changed, I will tell you your Christianity is not deep and wide. No, it's not deep and wide. You see, we know we were bad. So it cannot be that I cannot see what has changed. Since I met Christ, I'm a better, I walk like this. No, that's not a change. That's not a change. Something you used to do, you know you have stopped doing it. Amen. Otherwise, you have, the Christianity has not gone deep and wide in you. And you are a doer and not a beer. It's a new word. Yes, you have to be a Christian, not do a Christian. You have to be a Christian. Too many are doing Christianity. Too many are doing Christianity. So when they are up against any trouble, no, they can't do it again. When they meet any difficulty, they can't do it again because it's too hard. Being good is very hard. True or not true? Very hard. And that's why Jesus didn't come to do anything. Very simple. He said, look, these guys, I've tried to repair them before. Some old car be, as you repair it, always. Always. A new fault will come. A new fault will come. He said, no, let me just redo everything. Remake them. Because the repair is too much. I have to repair your heart, repair your ears, repair your mind, repair your eyes, repair your ears, repair. I'm repairing. It's like I'm changing you. Just change him then and make him free. So he said, I'll make you a new creation. Hallelujah. Amen. So you are new. I said, you are new. Amen. I said, you are a new creation. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Number one is what? You are a former sinner. When they ask you, who are you? I was a sinner. It's true. Look around and find somebody who's looking very nice this morning. Tell them, you were a sinner, pa. As you are sitting here, you are looking like an angel. You were a former sinner. Today, you are looking. The only reason why, this side, you're not laughing some. I'm not sure whether you're not with us. Ima, tell them, you were a former sinner. Malik, tell them, you were a former sinner. Bad boy or girl like you. But number two, thank you that you are a new creation. Amen. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. So, number three is you are now a child of God. John 1:12. When they ask you, who are you? I am now a child of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons and daughters of God. Amen. Amen. To become what? A child of God. A child of God. So from today, you are a what? A child of what? It's in Kumasi where we are so mindful of family. It's in Kumasi here. Everybody, my family, Wafa, and other things. We are mindful of where we come from. We are mindful of, do you know who my father is? Do you know? Hey, tell somebody nonsense. Who is your father? No. The change is now, even though you have a family you belong to. And let me tell you something. Your family, they're not correct too. They're not correct. Only that don't say it publicly, but me, I'll say it to you. They're not correct. They are the ones who are most jealous about you. Because the taxi driver doesn't care if you have a Benz or not. The man at the junction doesn't care if you have a Range Rover or not. He doesn't care. He's walking his walk. It's your relatives who care. You mind me again? Hold your neighbor's dress. Say, you is your relatives. When you release your black Mercedes Benz, you see that the eyes, when you go for family meeting,
you see some cousins have stopped smiling. You mind me? Okay, be there. Don't mind me. When they do they are going for the weekend, people will park their car and take Aboboya and go there. Why? You are afraid of who? Your own relatives. You mind me again? You are afraid. You are afraid to. You have gone to buy a Range Rover. They have parked it in the house. Why? Because if they see the shawl, they are now right on. What shawl is this? Hey, this car, yo, that's all. This car, I don't have. You have small boy like you. You are raising up. Your little girl, when you were walking around, look at you now, driving BMW. You see. But listen, tell somebody, it's not that family. It's the family of God. That is why I keep on trying to emphasize that. Tell your brother, I'm your brother. Tell your neighbor, I am your sister. Me. Hold their hand and shake their hand. Don't say, look, if you're a boy, don't say I'm your sister. If you're a girl, don't say I'm your brother. But hold and say, I'm your sister. Me. I'm your sister. Don't think about anybody else. Maybe your name is Kofi and my name what's my name? Not Akwesi. Akwesi is account. Ayite. Yes. So I'm from somewhere else. No, I'm not from anywhere else. I'm your brother. I am your brother. More than your family. Amen. Because we are now sons of God. Hallelujah. And because of this thing called family blood. Do you know family blood? I was looking at a certain family. In fact, there's one on stage here. At a certain family. When you see the children's, you can know who their father is. Oh, you don't have to do calculations. Or else your school teacher didn't teach you well. When you come and see their children's, they'll say, oh, that's the father standing there. Easy. It's true. Yeah. Like father, like son. Amen. It is, one day I saw a young lady, a girl. She looked like her father. Oh, no. It was too serious. And you see, I was trying to understand the practicality because he's a man and she's a girl. But the similarity was striking. He looked like her. She looked like him. No, she looked like him. He didn't look like her. But he's a man and she's a woman. And they have the same features. Amen. Tell somebody you are a child of God. Is it important? Yes. Yes, it's important. I am now showing you who you must resemble. I'm not going to start the preaching. It's starting now. Oh, this was introduction. Yeah. I am showing you who you must resemble. Because Jesus saw some Pharisees and said, you resemble somebody. The way you talk, the way you behave, you are like your father, the devil. There's a resemblance. One day, so I'm quoting, it's not me. Somebody, he said that men from the north, they are not handsome, but their women are very, very beautiful. Very, very beautiful, tall and slim, and every beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But their men are not handsome. And they ask him, oh, why do you say that? And you know, he said, oh, I will explain. And he said, because they worship ugly gods. And only the men worship. The women don't worship. It's the men who go and do all the rites and all the ceremonies. The women are left behind. The men do the sacrifices. The men do the blood pouring. The men go out. It is the men doing everything.
The women are not, I know, I was living there for 15 years. The women are not involved at all. I said, that's why. Yes, the men are looking like they are gods. Yeah, they are looking like they are gods. That, and see, you may think it's tribalistic. No. He's from there. And he's saying that you don't think about it. You become what you worship. You become. Hallelujah. You begin to resemble. What? That's why they say husband and wife, after some years, you begin to look alike. Yeah. But it's even more serious when you are worshiping something. And he said, it doesn't make sense. The striking difference between the men and the women from the north doesn't make sense. Striking difference. And it is. Take me to court, I'll go. But you begin to observe and look around and with an open eye, without any biases, and you find that there's something there. The women are beautiful, 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 and the men are not finished. Choose the one you like. So you are a child of God. Amen. So begin to resemble your God. I said begin to resemble your God. There must be some similarity between you and God. After all, we are made in his image. So there's some underlying similarity for all mankind. Yes, there is. But now that you are here, begin to be, and what did Jesus tell them in John 14 and 15? He says, no one has seen God. No one has seen God. And then Philip asked him, so show us the Father. He says, but you have seen me. Once you have seen me, Jesus, that is enough. Amen. Once you have seen me, Jesus, that is enough. And so this morning, we are looking at how to be like Jesus. How to be like Jesus. Amen. And I'm giving you two keys. One of the key is when you see a child and the parents, number one, you will see a physical resemblance, either color or looks or appearance. Number two, there's also a mannerism or a behavioral resemblance. You will see that the child walks like the father, or the child doesn't do the things the father does. You find that you are behaving just like your father. That is it. One day my wife called me and she was laughing. She said, why? She said, my son's wife was complaining that he wakes up in the night and is walking in the house, in the dark of the house, no lights on. So she was complaining to my wife that, what behavior is this? You wake up at night and you are walking in the dark. What is this? She was laughing. So that's his father. That's his father. Because when I wake up in my house, why should I put the lights on? I know where everything is. When the lights come on, it disturbs my pupils. So that when the light goes off right now, I'm more awake. So I just walk in the dark. And he has never seen me walk in the dark. No. Only my wife sees me walk in the dark. But he's doing the same. So tell somebody there is a behavior like your parents that you may have. Oh, hold your neighbor by the dress. Or if it's not a wig, you can hold by the hair. There's a behavior like the parents that the children can have. So, because God is not physical, okay, we have to emphasize that aspect of resembling the father, resembling the parents. Amen. Because God is not physical. What is God? God is spirit. Where is that scripture? Hey, please ask your neighbor, where is the scripture? God is spirit. They that worship him must worship spirit and in truth. Please, no, ask your neighbor. Where is it? Please. God is a spirit. Amen. So, listen. I'm giving you from tonight, today, I'm giving you things you must do to resemble Jesus. Number one, pray a lot. Pray a lot. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen.
Amen.
I didn't hear a good amen.
Amen.
From today, if you are a child of God, pray every day. Pray. No, you remind me again. Pray. Please hold your neighbor. Tell him. Pray every day. Hold him. Hold the dress. Shake the person. Be agitated. Pray every day. Every day. You cannot let what? Don't you eat every day? Most of you, don't you bath every day? So, pray every day. Amen. Pray. No, I'm very serious. How many will confess that you don't pray every day? Raise your hand. You will confess. Raise your hand well. I don't pray every day. This is the last time. This is the last time. When I ask you next week and you raise your hand again, what I'll say to you, stop the church. What I'll say to you, stop the church. And it's okay. Go to another church and take your bad behavior there. No, because we are a church of Christians. Former sinners, not current sinners. Only new converts are allowed to be current sinners. Amen.
Amen.
How many? So, your sins are forgiven you. How many don't pray every day? Raise your hand. You are still raising your hand. Be careful. Pray every day. Amen. How long should the prayer be? How long should the prayer be? At this stage, I don't care. At this stage, I don't care if it's 5 minutes or 1 hour. At this stage of not praying every day, all I care is pray every day. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Grace, pray every day. Not some mornings, I don't feel like praying. No. It's not like that. This is Jesus. We are now trying to resemble Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. Very simple scripture. Pray without ceasing. It means every day. Every day. It cannot be Monday and then Tuesday. I skip Tuesday. Tell about. Don't skip any day. You skip, you just skip by skipping. Skip. How? No more skipping. Please, tap your neighbor on the shoulder. No. You see, if your neighbor doesn't tap you, say you are the skipper. You. If your neighbor doesn't tap you, you are the one who is skipping. So tap. Neighbor to tap me also. Tell neighbor, tap me and also warn me. Warn me. Yeah. No more skipping. Pray on Monday. Pray on Tuesday. Pray on Wednesday. Pray on Thursday. Pray on Friday. Pray on Saturday. And then Monday, Sunday is a holiday. Sunday is a holiday.
No.
And they do pray on Sunday.
Yes.
Okay, pray on Sunday. Pray every day. No, I'm very serious. Pray every day. Amen. Because as you pray, you are Jude 20. As you pray, you are. It's like body building. You are building up yourself. As you pray, you are becoming more and more like Jesus. As you pray, you are increasing in your faith. Hallelujah. And faith comes by hearing. We don't come to church often enough to hear much. Just 1 hour message, then we are gone. But as you pray on your own, a lot in the house, you do well. Hallelujah. So let us pray, okay? Number two, read the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. If you know John 3:16, add 2 Timothy 3:16. Okay? They walk together. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it is God who has written it by dictating to somebody. It is God who has done it. And is profitable. All Bible reading, all the Bible scriptures, it's profitable, it's useful. For what? For doctrine. For teaching you things. For reproof. For correction. When you, listen, if you read the Bible, one day it will make you feel guilty. One day you read something that, Jesus did this, I didn't do this. Jesus, one day it will strike you that I'm not like Jesus. It will correct you. It will rebuke you, and also for instruction in righteousness. It will show you how to do the right thing. Preaching, it's only 30 minutes you are preaching in this church. If you are very, very long, 45 minutes, how much can I do to last you a week? But when you go home and you read your Bible yourself, on Monday, Genesis chapter 1. On Tuesday, Genesis chapter 2. On Wednesday, Genesis chapter 3. What again? You are getting instruction. You are being taught by God Himself. Amen. If you can read one, I want to make, okay, read one chapter, read something every day. No, one chapter is good. Not quiet time. This is reading, Bible reading, not quiet time. Read something every day. Then verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect. That's what the reading will do for you. Give me the ERV. Using the scriptures, those who serve God will be prepared and have everything they need to do every good work. Yeah, those who serve God, reading the Bible, just reading the Bible is actually preparing you for life's exams. I don't know whether you're with me this morning. How many read the Bible every day? You read every day. Only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 and a half. Because this one, I'm not sure what it means. 7 and a half. Okay. So tell your neighbor this is your last warning. No, I mean, Some warnings are like I'm giving you a Mother's Day cake. Some warnings are not proper warnings. You make your cheat hard and say, listen, from today, you've got to read your Bible every day. From today. Amen.
Amen.
From today, read your Bible every day. Every day. I'm very serious. I mean, last week we did grow. Today we are back here again. Because these, look at me, These are the most striking resemblance features of Jesus. These two, prayer and scriptures, they are the most, if you can adopt these two, no matter what you are, they will gradually mold you and transform you to become like Jesus. Read your Bible, pray every day. That's all. That is the most, that is the requirement that I want us to have as Christians. Amen. And every time you don't read, say I'm Antichrist. Yeah, because that's not what Christ is. You are doing what Christ didn't do. You are becoming the opposite. Every time you are, and you see, maybe once in the beginning, you may forget or remember somewhere, or it's not possible. No problem. When you forget and remember at once, there and then, say a prayer. Amen. Even if, and see, you can pray with your eyes open or you can't. You can pray anywhere or you can't. You can pray in your head or you can't. Yes. So, assuming in the morning you forget to pray, no matter where you find yourself, pray. If you remember in the trotro, just bow your head and pray. If you remember in the classroom, in a lecture, one of the very powerful prayers in the Bible is in Nehemiah chapter 2. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan that the king, verse 2, the king said to me, why is your countenance sad, seeing you are not sick? Are you listening? Verse 2. And then, verse 3. And he said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my fathers, lies waste? And look at verse 4. And the king said unto me, no, let's look at verse at ERV. ERV is nicer. And the king said to me, what do you want me to do? And before I answered, I prayed to the God of heaven. Before I answered, I mean, I need somebody, Mr. Robert, come. Nice big man in white. Please come. Mr. Robert is a nice big man in white. Yes. And I need a noisy boy like Shadrach to come. And you are talking to Mr. Robert. So ask me a question. How are you? No, let me ask you first. No, you see, when a big man like Mr. Robert will ask a question, how long can you wait before you answer? You cannot waste and take your time. So when the king asked him, what do you want me to do? King, I'm coming. Let me pray. Is that what he did? No, you just answer immediately. And so that, and you see, I pray to the God of heaven. You have made prayers from humongous, gracious, fantasticalistic, something that I need to have a setting, atmosphere. I need to have incense. I need to have lights on. I need to wear my dress, my prayer dress. No, thank you very much. No, you can pray anyhow, anywhere. That's why people say they pray when they are bathing. Those are useless prayer. I will accept it. I will accept it. They say they pray when they are bathing. That prayer, so will go into your eyes that you forget the prayer. No. But every other prayer, look, try. Let's pray every day. Amen. You're not answering me. Amen. Let's pray every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day. That is the simplest formula for us to become like Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And the third one, I'm giving you a third one today. Luke chapter 4. Gathering in church. The fourth, third one. Gathering together. And Jesus, Luke 4:16. Luke 4:16. And Jesus, ARV. ARV. Jesus traveled to Nazareth, the town where he grew up. On the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue as he always did. Are you listening to me? He did what? He went to the synagogue as he always did. You know, tell your neighbor, let it be anathema that I will miss church for no reason. No, I'm very serious. It is a very serious word. Yes, and I'm also very serious because some of you take church lightly. You think that coming to church is not by for it is my body, is my decision. I choose whether I go. I listen to me. Are you listening to me? I choose whether I go or not. And it's like the church, is it by force? I mean, it's a good question. So ask your neighbor, the church, is it by force? And what's the answer? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Give me the King James. Not forsaking. Not forsaking. One verse says, not neglecting. It means don't leave it out. It means do not. Are you listening? It means do not leave it out. I mean, as a pastor, Listen, as a pastor, the reasons I've had for people not coming to church are ridiculous. They are crazy. I mean, people's reasons for not coming to church, their reasons, should I tell you some? No, I won't tell you. It's crazy. I mean, I was tired. I was washing. I was cooking. I traveled. I didn't come back early. I didn't sleep early. I didn't wake up early. What are the other reasons again? My head, my back, my leg, no water, no light. My shoe is raining. My what? I didn't have dress. I couldn't iron. No, tell somebody, all these reasons do not matter. It's just your bad, it's your mindset that is not yet fixed on going to church. It's your mind. If your mind was fixed, look, no light, no water. You will find a dress you can wear. And look at our church. We don't have a dress code. No, we don't have a dress code. We wear what we like. That's our church. That's how we are. You can wear suit. You can wear tie. You can wear wedding dress. You can wear anything at all. Yeah, nobody, even the ushers, they wear t-shirt, then they can wear shirt. It's deliberate. So that nobody will ever be under any pressure or compulsion or have any negative thoughts. So as we come to church, you will find somebody like Pastor Sean wearing a round neck. You find somebody like me wearing my nice dress. You find somebody. Thank you. Thank you. You find somebody like Leticia wearing her pearls and her. You find Rosemary wearing her jeans and her canvas. You will find Ino in her, what is this? In her nice African, it's an easy going. And sneakers. You can wear this to market, can't you? Yes, market and church. She has come. Yeah, look around you and find out who's wearing something better than you and worse than you. You'll find both here. And it doesn't matter. Amen. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
Jesus Going back, Luke 4:16. Jesus went to the synagogue as he always did. As he always did. You know, let it be. Okay? Let it be that you can't remember the last time on a Sunday you were at home. Let it be. So, as for travel, no mistake about it. We travel. No mistake about it. Few of us are from here. Those of us who are here, crowd, we still have things to do elsewhere. So as for travel, we travel. But even when you travel, it must be that I will find a church. Wow. I will find a church. Wow. Somebody says, I do online church. I cannot quarrel with you. I cannot quarrel with you. But I will say online church, you spend only 5 minutes sitting down and the other 20 minutes either frying eggs or walking up and down in their house. Online church, you rarely sit down and pay attention as you are doing now. Rarely. And very, 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 very likely, online church, you have not brushed your teeth and you are just sitting down wearing your pajamas with palm oil here and some things there. Oh, it's not true. You are sitting down wearing torn dresses. You are just sitting down. What kind of respect is it to God to appear like that? Is that a proper respect? I'm not appearing to God. If it's a church, you can't appear to God in your dress like that anyhow. No, you can't. You can't. In your boxer shorts. You can't. So you may argue that online church is an option. I will not quarrel with you, but I'm only bringing up a difference. Yonggi Cho, he says, when he's going to pray in the morning, he wake up, bath, dress at 4 a.m. to go and pray because it's important. Hallelujah. Amen. To be like Jesus, number one, pray a lot. Number two, every day. And number three, gather regularly. It cannot be that you stay home for any reason. Hallelujah. Are you here this morning? I want you to be able to see in yourself that I've changed. I don't need people's comment because you can look, you can become very quiet and very sober. Make your face spiritual. Let me see you. Make your face spiritual. Make your face. You can make your face very holy, holistic face. Then you said, and you're looking like a Christian. But inside, you are not at all a Christian. So don't worry too much about the outside. Okay? Are you listening? From today, let us focus on our hearts. And the hearts, it will only be changed gradually. You are a former sinner. Are you not? You are what? A new creation. And you are a child of God. And because you are a child of God, you must look like Jesus, who is the only one who is the express image of God. And that is why you must do what? Pray a lot. Read your Bible and let's gather like this. Look, tell your neighbor. Today, I would like to share something very briefly about follow-up to all church members who are interested. Yeah, very briefly. So when we close, I don't know whether after you close or before we close, because we're about to close. I want to share something very brief. This is outside. This is not church. This is outside church to interested church members about what it means to be a working Christian and how to go to heaven with fruits. I'll just spend 15 minutes. After we share the grace, 15 minutes, I'll just share something. Then we close from there. But I want you to decide that from today, may you never wonder where I am on Sunday. Never. Don't tell anybody. Never wonder. You'll never be surprised. You know where I am. I'll be in church. If I'm not here, you know where I am. Yeah, if I'm not here, you know where I am. Because now, from today, church is now very, very important for me. Put your hands together and stand to your feet.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 11275. God bless you.